This is an Artist Journey podcast, the podcast for people thriving and creating as artists. I'm your host, Malcolm Dewey, and let's begin. Hi, and welcome to episode 31 of an Artist Journey podcast. It's great to be back and chatting to you again. I'm going to dive into something that has been cropping up quite a bit lately as I've been chatting to other artists and also doing a bit of research for my contribution to the South African Artist magazine. And it involves that old topic, the thing that bugs all artists, especially right now if you listen to everyone, and that is about pricing art. What do you think about art prices? Are they too high, generally too low, or is it just right? It sounds like that Goldilocks story about the perfect temperature for the porridge. It's actually a very real issue. It's certainly no fairy tale. A very real issue to living artists, people like us that are trying to make a living with their art. It's also relevant to collectors, maybe looking to expand their collections and perhaps finding that art is not as accessible financially anymore. And maybe it's something about our art world today. So having a look at, as I said, some research and talking to artists, I think the question that stands out for me, it's quite simple. And it goes like this. Why is art so expensive? It might seem like a strange question to ask because there are so many variables. I mean, what is expensive? What is cheap? Who knows? I suppose it all depends on the buyer or the collector to decide. Of course, you know, $200 for some people is a lot of money. In some parts of the world, it's almost an unthinkable amount, perhaps even a year's income. But for others, it is mere chicken feed. So if a painting is $200, what is it in respect of price? It doesn't really matter, does it? Except I think it really does matter that we look into this. And so I'm going to do a bit of a deep dive into this and try and figure out what is actually going on. So we got the two opposites. And when I discuss pricing and art sales with other artists, it comes down to the idea that their art must be too expensive because they're not making sales. But when I'm talking to non-artists, it always seems to revolve around the idea of, well, I can't afford it and it's too expensive and there's too many other things on my plate that I have to pay for. I can't justify spending a lot of money on a painting and it's a luxury. And that's that. Looking at these two opposite poles, the question is art perceived as simply being too expensive for most people? If this is the case, then why don't artists cut their prices? If they do make their art cheaper, the implied result is that there's going to be a lot more sales. This will make artists happy, and more people are going to own original art, and it's going to enrich their lives as well. If that's the logical train of argument, then I don't think it takes too much to realize that it's never going to work out. Simply reducing prices devalues art, and this leads to dissatisfaction on both sides. The artist and collector do not benefit. It's like getting into a price war and you fight all the way down to the bottom and everybody loses. So eventually there is no longer a point to creating original art and it simply has to remain a hobby. There's another way of looking at it as well. If you do not value art to begin with, are you going to buy it because it's cheap? Probably not. The other question is, if you love art, how are you going to feel about buying cheap art? will it still be special to you, or is it going to be somehow less in your eyes? Probably will be. So I think the value proposition is so important. It all comes down to how the potential collector perceives value. What is a person's perception of value for money, for example? When they get up each day and decide to spend money on something, what do they wish they could spend money on? Or maybe save up to spend money on later in that month or that year. Okay, so first of all, what is a person's comparative range? What is being compared with what? The expense of something that you can find in the market on the one hand, compared to paintings on the other hand. And remember, when I talk about paintings, I'm really talking about any art. I simply refer to paintings because I paint, but it could be sculpture or anything that you create. So this is difficult because fundamentally it is something that's missing more and more in the world today, and it comes down to art education and perception of value. It seems that more and more that people are not as educated about art as they were 50 years ago, or maybe, or certainly 100 years ago. Let's say a century ago, or in the 19th century and early 20th century. Attitudes towards art certainly was different than it is today. Back then, I suspect there was more value attached to art and artists. Artists were regarded as producing something of value to the culture of the times and the country that people were living in. The mere fact they were creating art was something of value. The educated classes especially all had exposure to classical education and history of master arts. It was something taught actively and considered to be important. It's definitely not the case today. Over time, there has been a big drop in the value perception of art and artists, and I would say especially from the mid-20th century. Maybe this was already creeping in after the First World War, but after the Second World War, that was a particularly defining time. Traditional values and creative arts fell into a crisis as the world plunged into something new and uncertain. We had a tremendous rise in materialism through the 50s and 60s in the United States, while in Europe, austerity still had its hold and people were struggling, taking much longer to come out of the aftermath of the Second World War. In both cases, though, the meaning of life and creativity was now actively questioned. Also, we had the rise of science, industry, a materialist culture, and of course, the nuclear bomb. This had a huge effect on artists and what they were creating. We get traditional art getting dumped on the side, and suddenly anything goes. Right? We're in a state of turmoil in the arts. If the atom bomb was going to drop tomorrow, then outlook on life today was a bit cynical. By the end of the 20th century, it became a case of anything goes. You could come up with anything, be it traditional, modern, abstract expressionism, shock tactics, anything. It didn't matter. All that mattered to the media was that art was newsworthy. If it had shock value, then the media gave it attention, and the public pretty much kept their mouth shut tight. Nobody would stand up and say, that's not art, that's junk. Okay, if you could venture that opinion, you'd probably be labeled a Philistine and a barbarian, but at least it was an opinion. That is one thing that changed and continues to this day. People are not engaging with art like they did before the world wars. Today, political correctness and other things are keeping people quiet. If art was produced back in the old days, when the public and society was engaged with art, they would react to it immediately. and loudly, either they'd celebrate it or criticize it. But art and artists had an impact. These days, art only has an impact if it is particularly shocking and picked up by the media and plastered over the TV and newspapers for that reason. For the general public today, the decision is, I'm going to say nothing, because if I do, I'll look foolish. And anyway, what do I know about art? The only art education people are getting is either about record prices at an auction or some type of media publicity stunt. And that's not really an art education, is it? I believe this lack of art education and perception of value is having a major influence on how society values art in general. Is the art today good art? And many people see paintings that might look good to them, even beautiful paintings in their mind or in their eye. But if they don't trust their feelings and reactions to the art as legitimate and genuine, what then? Is the art something that they can stand up and talk about with confidence? If not, are they going to buy it simply because it's beautiful to look at? Is that going to be enough? I believe it takes a lot of confidence to be able to say, I'm going to buy that painting because it's going to look great in my house. Or I'm going to love looking at it. It's going to cheer me up every day. It seems so simple, but actually it is difficult decision making because it takes a lot of self-confidence to reach that conclusion and then pull out the credit card and purchase that art. And then be able to talk about that art and justify it with some confidence. Now, we as artists might take this all for granted and think, well, why are people not buying the art if they love the painting so much? I get tons of likes and comments about my art. Everybody loves it. Why isn't anyone buying it? So when the art is not sold, we immediately assume it comes down to price. People love the art, they're not buying it, it must be the price. I want to argue that there's a lot more involved than simply price. As I said in the beginning, perception of value is paramount. A collector needs to see more to the painting than merely price. So if they love the look of the painting and think it's going to be fantastic in their home or office and they are confident with their art tastes, if all of that is in place, then they are far more likely to want to buy the art and go through with collecting. So where to begin with changing these perceptions or changing the tide of art sales? One thing leads to another and a collector is born, but that is very few and far between these days, or so it seems anyway. Especially if we look at decades ago or even a decade ago when art was selling much better. Maybe you could say it all starts in the schools. How many high school children take an art class? That is, even if the school offers it in the first place. Children are encouraged to follow academic subjects like maths and science and engineering, and not to mention accountancy. I don't see schools changing this anytime soon, so we are going to have a lot of people leaving school with very little art education and art appreciation. All they're going to be exposed to is the occasional auction news when some art reaches a record sale price. Everything else simply doesn't figure in. So what about the economy? Isn't it all to do with the economic situation? So of course, economics is a factor. If somebody is struggling economically, then nobody expects them to go and spend the rent money or the grocery money on purchasing art. That's common sense. What about the middle class? Does the middle class still have money to buy art? Or has the middle class been crushed down by repayments and mobile data prices and rising food costs? Many argue that the broad middle sector is now tapped out. Artists have now got to struggle to sell to the 2%, the super wealthy, the few with disposable income. I'm not so sure about this. Sure, economics is an issue up to a point, but value perception and education are still, I think, overriding factors. I sometimes call it the decision between the flat screen or the painting. So how do you perceive the price of a painting? Why do you say it's so expensive? Ask yourself, what are you comparing the art to? Are you comparing it to an appliance, for example? Let's say a medium-sized painting costs as much as a new fridge or a flat-screen TV. What do you decide? Is it a legitimate comparison in the first place? Of course, that fridge is just going to become another dirty appliance that needs cleaning and maintenance, and the flat screen, well, it's going to be out of date before you know it. Then you'll probably get bored watching the junk they're showing on TV anyway. So is there true value in a quickly depreciating appliance? I don't think so. So let's consider what value art is actually giving. One thing I know about art is this: you develop an increasing attachment to that artwork you may have purchased. The same cannot be said about objects like electrical appliances, and that's pretty much a fact, I think. If an electrical appliance is your highlight in your life, then you're not going to be reading or listening to this podcast. So now what? What else is going to make the process of purchasing a piece of art seem reasonable? What are you looking for in an artwork? Is it an investment? Is it to enrich your life as a human being? If it's purely for investment and you're a hedge fund manager, then price is not an issue and you're in a different financial category anyway. Purchasing paintings for extraordinary amounts on auction becomes something you do for fun and ego. So for us regular folks, other values need to apply and become important. So what about looking at art more holistically, investing in art for many reasons? There are many contemporary artists today, whether it's modern abstract art or representational work, that are producing works of art of excellent quality. These are living artists producing excellent work. And you can count on and expect an increase in the value of this art as well. These are smart artists who are increasing their prices annually. Even at a small amount, the increased value of their art is something that you can rely on. It's much harder to see this in the stock market, especially in the past couple of years where it is so volatile. So let's assume that a painting is going to increase in value on an annual basis. That increase is compounding over the coming years, and at the very least is keeping up with inflation. Is it not reasonable to believe that the painting you purchase has some intrinsic investment value? I believe it is. Remember, these are artists that are not superstar auction house favorites. They are rather a middle category of experienced artists producing excellent work today. And you can certainly aspire to purchase a painting in that sort of range and expect it to increase in value, and most importantly, to still give you pleasure for many, many years to come. That painting is not going to deteriorate. It's going to pretty much remain as it is. Whereas the gadget-driven economy that we seem to be in, well, we all know with what happens to gadgets with time. They don't last very long, and if you're lucky, they may last past the warranty period. So if we escape the mindset or the direction that marketers try to point us towards, then we stand a chance. Marketers are screaming that it's all about electronics and gadgets and so on. Support Silicon Valley. Instead, turn away from that noise and the art begins to stand out as something meaningful and worthwhile, even important. Art has many other value qualities to it to justify its price tag. So what are the things that justify that price? Well, as I've already referred to a few things, but to you and me, maybe it is the beauty of a painting that is an escape for you. At the end of the day, you look at that painting and you think of it as poetry in paint. It is something to engage your senses, maybe nostalgia for happier times, giving you a sense of optimism and hope. Maybe the painting makes your space, your home, your office look vibrant and colorful, unusual, something out of the ordinary. It's amazing to me how many places I've visited, whether it's offices or homes, where there is very little art in evidence. You see a lot of money being spent on furniture and carpets and things like that, but the walls are bare of art. I find that quite sad, and not because they haven't spent a fortune on art. The truth is that these people don't have to spend a fortune. It's also sad because too many people are not realizing what they are missing. There is excellent art in many price categories. Why are people spending a lot of money on furniture and carpets but not putting art on the walls? I think we're coming back full circle to that whole idea of perception of value based on a lack of art awareness. So I think it's time to see art with new eyes. Awareness of the importance and meaning that art brings to human life. After all, the creation of art is something uniquely human, and to me that is extremely important. I do believe that we as humans carry the capacity to create and destroy, and what are we tempted to do the most? You might feel the world leans towards destruction. Certainly if you watch the news, that's what you'll believe. But to fulfill our true selves as human beings, we need to create and appreciate each other as creative souls. And what about love? One of the primary emotions that distinguishes humans from the animal world is love. Surely love must be one of the biggest motivations for creating art. Isn't art something to be held in high regard and high value, as something to aspire to have in your home or in your life? I believe that if people start looking at art in these terms, it's going to cut through a lot of the confidence issues that are holding people back. So art is a form of communication at a high level, something that we humans are gifted with. It is a true gift to create and appreciate art. So how do you go about developing your confidence to collect art? When you believe there is value to art and you believe it is something worth acquiring, how do you know it's good art? How do you know that you're going to be spending your money well and are not going to regret it later on? And it makes me think of this latest incident with the artwork that was auctioned recently. The piece of art created by Banksy, the anonymous or unknown graffiti artist. The painting, immediately after being sold for $1.4 million, started descending through a shredder built into the frame of the painting and started shredding itself. Half the picture is now dangling under the frame as shreds of paper. Apparently Banksy built the shredder in there, and perhaps he activated it immediately after the sale as a statement against the greed of collectors. Or maybe just as a stunt, who knows? Of course, the auctioneer would immediately say that the painting has gone up in value and what a bargain it was purchased for in the first place. Well, maybe Banksy has a point, showing up that whole system for the farce that it is. But how does regular folks, you and I, how do you know the art you want to buy is any good? Who can judge whether a painting is really good or not? I suppose there are some objective requirements, but the moment you say it must have good composition and good brushwork, then you can refer to other pieces of modern art that don't have these qualities. Yet those works of art come with high critical acclaim. So certainly there is art that is being produced that is of a poor technical skill. Not every piece of art that's produced is profound or great on all levels. So hopefully these can be spotted by well-informed people and galleries and educated collectors and so on. But that, in general, I would suggest looking at these steps. Number one is have a good look at the painting that's caught your eye. Doesn't matter what kind of art it is, but have a close and deep look. Look at the piece of art and consider it carefully from your own personal perspective. You have to live with it, first of all, and why live with a piece of art you don't like to look at? Of course, hedge fund managers don't apply, yeah, because they'll lock up the art in a vault, so that's another story. Step number two is, once you've considered the art at a deep and personal level, you may still have to take time and consider it. By all means, sleep on the decision. Decide, is it right for you? If you're still thinking about that piece of art a few days later and feel that it will enrich your life, then I think you need to try and do whatever you can to acquire that piece of art. It is important. The point is, you have to decide, is the art right for you? And if the art itself is something resonating with you and it's beautiful to you, then make a plan of acquiring that work of art. You might need to reach an arrangement. If it's expensive or a bit beyond your comfort zone, reach an arrangement with the artist or the gallery to reserve it and then get your funds together. There's nothing wrong with taking this approach. It really comes down to the issue of confidence and maybe your attitude towards money. How people perceive money and their relationship with money has a big part to play in how they respond to art and art prices. When ready, you make the decision and you purchase the piece of art confident and knowing that you're not going to regret it. I've always held the belief that without paintings on my walls by various artists, my living space and my home and my life would not be as enriched as it is. It's not that I have significant investment work hanging on my wall. I'm not suggesting I'm able to purchase something from Sotheby's or Christie's for large amounts of money. That's not the case at all. But I do appreciate beautiful art, and if I can have that work of art and afford it and put it on my wall and look at it, then I'm going to feel better. That is something very difficult to achieve with any other thing that I've purchased. Even something unusual like a car purchase becomes just another mode of transport after a few months, something I have to insure and pay annual taxes on. Appliances and gadgets become just another thing, but a painting is not just a thing. The painting proclaims itself as something completely and utterly different from mere tools and gadgets in your house and office. The painting is the value. It has value, and in my opinion, will always justify the price tag you paid for it. You'll fall in love with the piece of art, and the purchase will be worth it. That's what it comes down to, I think. Having a piece of art that you love and that makes it worth everything you paid for it. I can only say with all honesty that to be more confident with collecting art and the price that comes with it means also having to ignore the media. The media do not teach you about art. They don't teach you about value either. Unless, of course, it is the shock value of some crazy auction price. Auctions, that's another thing entirely, a game played by an extreme minority of wealthy, egotistical people, by and large. Also, think about the role of the artist. Be aware that an artist had to acquire certain skills and do certain work to produce that art. Art's not produced by a machine. It's not an industrial process with thousands or millions of widgets are churned out by a machine. Art is a skill. It can even be beyond our comprehension when it is so good, so profound. Ultimately, it's a transformation, something that a human has done to transform base materials into something greater than the sum of its parts. Once all of these things are added together, does it make art seem affordable after all? Is the price now justified? Maybe it makes art seem cheap by comparison to all the other junk and tat out there in the world today. Maybe art is our finest achievement, one of the highest achievements that humans have ever performed. Looked in this light, art is extremely good value for money. So I suggest you go out and buy lots of it. Okay, just kidding about that, but you can look at art in many ways as pointless luxury or something of value to aspire to. It comes down to your worldview to enrich your life and make life a bit better. Art can do that, giving you a bit of hope and something to smooth out the edges of life. Art can do that as well. So why is art, or questioning the expense of art, is that the correct question after all? So there are many ways to look at the subject, and it's always going to be debated, but ultimately being more aware of art and art history and what makes art meaningful helps with the decision of whether it's something worth purchasing, whether the price tag is justified. So you can decide for yourself. Instead of asking why art is so expensive, ask how can art make your life better? So there it is, that's my argument. Is art too expensive? Not at all. There it is, there's something we can think about as look at ourselves and our relationship with art and money and our life. Anyway, I hope that maybe I've stimulated a few thoughts and ideas. If you think I'm completely off my rocker, let me know. If you agree or have something to add to the debate, then leave a comment and let me know as well. And if you've enjoyed this podcast, please leave a positive comment and share it out and subscribe and stay in touch for the next episode. So until we chat again, have a great week. I would love to chat to you further, and we'll do that in the near future. So until then, cheers for now.